Jeff here. Thanks for listening. Go to playvolutionhq.com/ccbag or click the link in the show notes for the show's archives, ways to connect, ways to support the show, information about happy hour, and more. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you from upstairs studio in the snuggery along the Gulf of Mexico, about 75 degrees, 40% humidity, and wispy clouds in the sky right now. Just got back from the beach. With me, Stephanie, coming from the shores of beautiful Lake Erie. How you doing?
I'm just fine. It's about 46 degrees and sunny here, but I also just got back from the beach.
So. All right. So we both went for a nice beach walk to think about the podcast episode. So this is gonna be a good one. Stephanie's got a topic we're gonna get into in a minute. We gotta take care of a couple things. Have I asked you yet whether you'd like to be covered with feathers or scales?
I think, didn't you do that on Playhaven? And maybe not. Maybe you were saying a fish or a bird or
anyway, that was I think that was a minotaur or a mermaid.
Okay.
This is different. This is from Brett.
Okay.
They don't have any function. You can't like fly if you have feathers, and you can't slither or breathe underwater if you have scales. You just are covered in one or the other.
Well, I'd go with the feathers because I'm getting old and my skin is all scaly anyway. I'm doing that. And then I'm not a fan. So I'll go with the feathers because feathers are soft. And
okay. So far feathers have been very popular. Brett liked them because it would be nice and cozy snuggling up with the new baby and everything. So there's lots of love out there for feathers. The other thing, I don't know how much I'm ready to talk about it yet, but I've acquired a new nemesis, arch enemy, that's moved in, that is snuggery adjacent and causing some turmoil in my life. Ooh. She's like 9 years old. And I'm having a hard time learning how to cope.
That surprises me. You like children.
Well, I like the idea of children. the Platonic idea of children, you know, reflected by the candlelight in that cave or whatever. That's what I like. Real, actual human children can individually be a pain in the ass. And so it's been a little over a week now. They moved in above us. She doesn't live alone. I thought first that a group of pirates had moved in and that they didn't only have one, but each of them had two peg legs. There's been so much noise. Then I realized that probably wasn't true. And then I thought maybe they all got around on pogo sticks. I thought maybe that's how they moved around because there's been an inordinate amount of noise coming through the ceiling here at the snuggery. Previous neighbors were just quiet, normal people. And then I've narrowed it down to this adorable little 8 to 10 year old as the primary noisemaker. And I don't know what to do about her other than consider her an arch enemy and figure out a way to foil her every activity. I think also she's in like dance or tumbling gymnastics or something like that. There seems to be a lot of bounding. You know, you expect a couple days of noise when somebody's just moving in, you get in the furniture arranged, all that kind of stuff. Every once in a while, there's just bounding, like there's leaping going on. And The dogs were living in dread for the first couple of days. It was horrible. And then the music comes through the ceiling. And the music gotta be pretty loud to come through the ceiling. And the lyrics aren't, there's language in her lyrics that I would get canceled if I repeated.
Oh my.
And so the first time I met her, I was out with the, like when they're moving in, I'm out walking the dogs and they're still moving in. She's carrying some stuff in and she's like all smiles and like, hey, and nice dogs. And I'm like, hey, cause I didn't know she was my arch enemy then. And see, she seems like a perfectly passable human being. If it wasn't for all the distress, she's calming in my nice, cool, calm life. And then after a couple of days, the music was blasting. I think it's one of those Home Alone situations when the bulk of the noise happens. And so having headed up to here, wherever here happens to be, the other day, with the loud music blaring through the ceiling, I went up. And I pounded on the door, boom, 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 three loud cop pounds, you know. And then this little thing opens the door. And my first response is, why are you opening the door? There wasn't time to look through the peephole. You don't know who I am. Why are you opening the door? And I wanted to scold her for that, because if you're home alone and you're opening the door to anybody that shows up at the door, you shouldn't be doing that. So I wanted to go into dad mode on her for that already and tell her, okay, if you can't see through the peephole, you need to have a stool here by the door so you can look, and you don't open the door for anybody you don't know. Again, not my job. So I didn't do that. I just said, she said, yeah, all smiles and everything. Confirmed my thought that she was a gymnast or something, because she got the leotard on with the shiny little skirt thing, like she just got back from practice or something. And I'm like, I need you to turn down the music. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, my bad. And I'm like, yeah, it scares my dogs. You met my dogs the other day. It scares them. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I mean, you could tell she totally was. And the music stops or gets turned down. 2 or 3 hours, don't hear a peep out of her. And then of course, more noise and more. So I don't know. I'm going to have to, I don't know. Do you have any advice for how to scare her family? Apparently it's her mom and an older sister. That's what I gather. How to convince them to move? What should I do, Stephanie?
I mean, I would go with AirPods in her ears.
I could hear her music with an earbud in my ear while I was working on my iPad. I could hear her music through my ear with.
But I mean, if you gave her earphones, then she could hear her music. Okay. And you could not.
Okay. Okay.
And
so
bunny slippers.
Like sure. Really
fuzzy bunny slippers because they would soften the pounds, right?
Okay. But, okay. Tasha suggested getting her a tumbling mat.
Well, I thought of that too, but yeah. I thought that's big.
Yeah. So my problem with that is guy downstairs starts giving little girl presents doesn't sound quite appropriate either. So
Could Tasha maybe
they just start showing up at the doorstep. Maybe I could suss out her name and then they just start getting left in packages there at the door for her. That could be
the dog.
I guess. Like a cask around their neck and just have Gigi sitting there waiting for her. So I don't like poisoning her Doritos isn't probably the first step.
I mean, you might have that policeman coming to your door with
her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I've got a wireless speaker that I thought about putting in the air conditioner ductwork is in the ceiling. I thought about taking the vent cover off and putting a speaker up in the ceiling, and then randomly playing loud polka music, that would vibrate through their floor.
Polka dancing is also a lot of pounding, having been raised in a
Oh, sure, but I find it pleasant.
But I'm thinking about the pounding part of it.
Yeah,
Something
yeah.
is like, don't. I was going to say
Yeah.
it said it first.
Yeah, I get my own drum
Good
set. That's
idea.
so listeners, you have that look to look forward to, me battling with this young child over the course of the year. I'm sure we'll end up as best friends.
I'm sure you will. No
I
question.
doubt
I
it.
mean, she already wants you to like come and be her friend. She's
It's because she wants me to come bang on the door again, and she needs an or a sense of order and security in her life, and I'll end up providing that. That probably not gonna happen. The only
order and security. Good. I
Yeah,
like
I
it.
mean, that's probably what she's looking for. I mean, home alone after school, and yeah, we need some order and structure. The only humans I was thinking about this, the only humans I'm less uncomfortable with than girls between 9 and 19. I know that's a big wide open window, is like sports team guys. I'm slightly more comfortable with that subset of girls than I am with dudes that are really into their team. I don't get that at all. So this is about the most uncomfortable thing that could happen to me. The only thing worse, if we would have got a new neighbor that was always inviting me over to watch the big game. That's the only thing that would be worse than what's going on right now. Okay, we've wasted more than enough time on that recurring, soon to be recurring topic. What are we talking about? What's our real topic?
Well, I don't know. I was listening to one of your recordings with Lisa Murphy, and you were talking about development and the developmental domains, and you were talking about how you had added a fifth, the adaptive domain. And as I was listening, I was thinking, okay, makes sense. And I think Lisa said something about maybe adaptive should kind of be in the center of social, emotional, cognitive, communicative, and physical. And as I was listening, I was thinking, well, but isn't the adaptive domain, is that resilience? Because as you know, that's kind of what I get fixated on, is where does resilience fit into our understanding of child development? Because I think resilience is a developmental concept, and I hadn't thought of putting it in a domain. And so I've just been kind of playing around with some of those ideas.
And you've
And
got three-dimensional models,
I
and
have a three-dimensional model that I just, because I can't kind of figure it out, because in addition to resilience, I've been intently studying your little handout, which is wonderful. Where's imagination? I mean, that's the other, that's as a sidebar, I've been really focusing and trying to like dig into a lot of thoughts and thinking about imagination and how that intersects with storytelling and life. And is that part of communicative? So
So, well, it depends on what we're doing with creativity.
I'm not talking
I
about
would
creativity. That's different.
imagination, you said.
Yeah, which is
Okay, so
I see it as different from creativity.
imagination for me would go under cognitive.
But would it? Because it's also the basis of communicative. And it could. I'm not disagreeing with where it goes. I'm just thinking, as I was looking at this and thinking about all this, I thought, number one, okay, the purpose of life, of early childhood is development. All right. That's why we split it. We know that all of the domains are all intersecting and interwoven, and you can't really separate them out. What's the point of separating them out? Maybe to observe better, more accurately, pay attention to different things. But where does the, you know, like, yeah. How does that, you know, I mean, I think imagination often is put with, if it's mentioned, which, to be honest, in it keeps coming up. I've listened to a bazillion podcasts in early childhood, maybe not a bazillion, but probably like 50 in the past.
That's almost a bazillion.
That's almost a bazillion. I could just listen to all of yours and I'd get to
you just,
really
that's
close.
Just, you know, just bazillion. Rounding. 50, I mean, rounding up is a bazillion. Yeah.
It is a bazillion. I mean, you know. But nobody's talking about the imagination. Nobody's writing about the imagination. And so that's, it's, and I thought, well, this is great, Stephanie. Here you are. You're like, you're fixated on resilience and the imagination, and nobody's like incorporating those into early childhood. So for me,
it goes solidly into cognitive, because it's all mind based for me, because I imagine all kinds of things that I never communicate to anybody.
Right. But here's my thing about, like, okay. Here's why I said, first of all, I'm intrigued that you added communicative, because that's often not part of the developmental domains. Like, I mean, I taught child development for years, and often language is like embedded into cognitive too.
And the NAYC, they've got it as language and literacy, I think, is the way they break it down. But I think communicative makes sense better, because the body language and all of that. Yeah.
Absolutely,
that
100%.
But so I think, you know, I think one of the ways we if we're talking about the expression of imagination, I think that would be communicative. But
right,
the process of imagination would be, for me, cognitive.
But here's where the little like connector dots are for me, mm-hmm. with that, which is, if part of imagination is mental imagery, which is the basis, it's the foundation for language, right?
Sure.
I mean, that is, you know, like, that's the one off from, you got the real object and then you've got the mental.
Well,
image.
for written language, but not for language. For spoken language, we don't need those symbols.
You don't see them in your head?
Do you?
Maybe.
Oh, really? That's fascinating. I know.
If I think about what I'm saying, which is sometimes, you know, sometimes yes, no, some, you don't see pictures in your head?
Of words when I'm talking?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't mean that.
No.
Or when you're listening.
When I'm listening, do I see pictures in my head when I'm listening? No.
Ever? Really?
Pictures of words? Pictures
no,
of
not
what?
Pictures of, no, not pictures of words, pictures of concepts, pictures of, I mean, how do you, if you're listening to somebody tell you about their new neighbor upstairs who, I mean, I saw, as you were talking, I could visualize what this little girl looked like, what she was doing, what, you know, like I saw her, mm-hmm. little tutu and all of the stuff. I saw you with your, like, going up and like doing her knocking your policeman.
I hope I looked really cool.
You look so cool. You
oh,
look
good,
so very
good.
Cool. So I think
my head is mostly just a big blank when it comes to that kind of stuff. No, when I'm listening to stuff, podcasts, audiobooks, that kind of stuff, it's just pretty much all auditory to me.
Okay. Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. And I mean, I can, if I decide I need to picture something, like if I'm reading something on my Kindle or something, and I want to pause and imagine a scene, I kind of got to stop the reading and paint that picture, because that pulls me out of the content so much that it's.
So when you read, you don't see pictures in your head?
I don't think so. No, I hear the words, but I don't look at pictures. If I want to see pictures, I'll watch a video. Am I broken?
I was actually talking with somebody else about this morning. Not a podcast, just a random colleague.
It's just a real conversation.
It's a real conversation. and we went down a rabbit hole because I've been thinking a lot about all this stuff. And I heard a storyteller say that one of the things that was never that was foundational for kids learning how to read was the ability to construct mental images. And that with TV and all of this other stuff, like that was, there is a, and honestly play, there's a real downswing. And this was back probably in the 80s or 90s, a real downswing potentially in kids being able to construct these mental images so that when they went to read, they just saw text and words and they couldn't, they, it wasn't engaging to them to like swoop them along. And so for decades, I ask all of my college students, you know, how many of you like to read for fun? And I, you know, got a various proportions and pretty much, and then I said, and how many of you see pictures in your heads when you read? And it was almost a match set every time with the people who didn't like to read, didn't see pictures in their heads. And the people who were like, oh yeah, I see pictures in my heads all the time when I read, they were the readers. And so I'm really curious about this because you can't research this stuff. I mean, that's what I've been really frustrated and why I keep going down all these stupid rabbit holes that I really should be out walking in the beach. Because in research, you research what you get paid to in big research organizations. Sure. You know, like and because you can't measure the imagination, you can't really do a good job of measuring mental imagery for sure. There's just not a ton of research about it. And yet it's, to me, it is foundational to language, and but maybe not. Maybe I just see pictures in my head. Maybe.
So when I'm reading, I see the words on the Kindle usually. Yeah. And in my head, I hear what I'm reading. I'm not reading out loud. I can actually read to myself, but I hear what I'm reading. Yeah. And, you know, if I want to, I can, when I finish a scene or something, I'm reading something now that is kind of sci-fi, involves multidimensional time travel. And I can stop and I can picture that afterwards. But when I'm in the process of reading, I don't do that. I'll pay extra attention.
I bet you maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. I would, if you can picture it after the fact, I'll bet you it. I mean, I don't sit there with my Kindle at night and like, where every word comes up with like a picture. But as I'm reading a story, I have constructed a mental image of who the characters are. And when there's a, you know, fight scene, I see them fighting, like just like fast. I'm also not a very fast reader. And maybe that's why. It's interesting.
I don't even have a lot of interest in imagining what characters look like or anything. I'm defective. And I mean, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 books a year for fun plus work stuff. So I'm not a voracious reader, but it's something I do every day.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I just found this, you know, when I heard this, I thought, oh, wait a minute, if we really want to help children develop literacy, then if this is a missing link because they're not playing enough, they're spending too much time in front of screens, we're not doing all of the things that they need to develop this cognitive or, you know, the imagination, the ability to construct mental images from language, they don't have enough concrete firsthand experiences. I mean, all of that stuff, I think, ties theoretically. then, you know, like it, maybe I need to start sharing it with the people that are the people who are going to be teachers to say, you know, pay attention to this. Here's one, another, yet another reason why make-believe play and lots and lots and lots of rich experiences outside and all of that stuff are important because it lays that foundation for the ability to construct mental images, and that will feed into their reading. But maybe you're just too fast.
I don't think so. I think probably now you got me worried. I need an MRI, or that I've been missing something all these years. I've been missing something all these years, and I need to go back and reread everything, and try to be a better imaginer.
No, I mean, you have a pretty good imagination. I would not worry about that.
I feel a little bit defective now.
I think it's just curious. I mean, and maybe, you know, like it isn't something that I've been able to research because there isn't research out there about it. A lot of this is just more theoretical and that kind of stuff. And like anecdotal from talking to adults who got stuck in my classes and had to sit there and listen to me, like a spouse on why everybody should be doing make-believe play and why we were, you know, going out and doing crazy stuff instead of sitting and doing what everybody else had them do and watch PowerPoint. So,
So is this related? I dream most of my dream. I don't remember a lot of dreams. Apparently everybody dreams. I don't remember a lot of dreams, but I dream in words.
Interesting.
I dream in words. I mean, sometimes I'll wake up and I'll remember like a scene from a dream, but mostly I dream in conversation.
And you, do you see the words? You just hear it.
It's all auditory in my, so I don't, I mean, it's not really, I guess you can't, if you're not really hearing it, is it really hearing it? So I guess I'm imagining the sounds. Is that what it is?
I mean, when you talk about your eight sensory systems, to me, like, it makes sense that all of those are part of your imagination or part of your dream cycle. I'm not an expert on dream. I definitely see pictures when I dream.
Yeah, and rarely.
I dream in color. I've talked to a lot of people. They're like, oh no, I only dream in black and white. I don't remember a lot of my dreams. I have a lot of people I know like can remember like every single dream because I have really boring dreams. Why remember them?
Oh yeah. Well, that's for me too. Of what I do remember, it's basically me thinking over things that I'm thinking about. So really the dreams are almost like me thinking conversations of me thinking with myself about things, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, what, I mean, it, I mean, isn't this cool?
Listeners, like, if any of this makes you think Jeff needs an MRI, please let me know.
Or that Stephanie needs to go to the latest and best kind of insane asylum because she's got all these pictures and people in her head all the time. That's okay.
Well, see, and that's what I hear from people, and I guess so look, we'll go over some of my defections. I don't or can't cry. I've got short T-Rex arms. And I imagine wrong. My imagination is broken.
No, but isn't that fascinating? Because I love the stuff that you're getting into with the different sensory systems of children and, you know, like all of that stuff. And it makes sense that your sensory systems, which ones are more developed, more integrated, less integrated? I mean, people have to have preferences. I mean, there's some people who are, you know, like, I mean, I have friends who can like spot birds like 17 miles away in a tree and be right about it because they're, you know, an artist tunes into these little tiny details. I'm more of a, you know, like watercolor girl. Like a couple nice colors. Like, oh, wait, there's a bird. Unless I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that we would have, and the children will have their different systems, that their sensory systems would play into their different, you know, how they dream and how they visualize when they're I mean, visualizes, I mean, the word has vision in it, but
yeah,
but maybe the, that word's wrong too. Like we have to write a new language, I think.
Yeah. Huh. Humans are interesting creatures.
They are. They're so interesting. I mean, and aren't we lucky that most of the time we act like them?
Yeah, that we get to be them for a couple of years.
We get to feed them. We get to pretend.
So back to the developmental domain thing, I think Lisa thinking the adaptive need to be in the middle. I think an argument can be made that any of those five can be put in the middle, and be focused on. And maybe we need some sort of freedom. You know what you need to, what you should get yourself, some of those weird shaped dice, like the 20 sided and 10 sided and four and six and what the different sided dice that they use for different games. Maybe one of those shapes would trigger what you're trying to.
For me, I like what Lisa said about it, the adaptive being the middle, and I'll tell you why. I went back into my old Piaget stuff, and everybody thinks Piaget was like a psychologist. He was not. He was a genetic epistemologist. He was interested in the evolution of thinking and knowledge throughout humankind, and he felt that, I wrote it down here, that that the underlying principle of existence of all organisms is adaptation.
Sure.
Like, and so, and that to, so to me, and that then he described what he, that knowledge was what we needed in order to adapt, and that, or I'm sorry, intelligence is how we adapted, and knowledge are the things that we learned along the way by interacting with our environments to be able to adapt. So for me, when you said adaptive, I was like, oh yeah, it's that's, you know, like we adapt.
Well, I mean, the whole point of education is to prepare humans to survive and thrive in the world.
Right.
And so adaption is a big part of that. Now, for me, thinking about it, if I was going to put one in the middle, I would put physical there. Because without the physicality that's involved in, you know, just wiring those eight sensory systems, none of the mm-hmm. other stuff can happen. Right. Because the only way the brain gets any information at all is through our body. And so if the body isn't fully developed, if the sensory systems aren't integrated, if the body isn't in good working order, it's really hard for the mind to have anything to process, whether it's language or imagination or any of the other stuff.
I would, and that's why I think that's what I came to this afternoon on the beach, was that the problem is that we are working with two-dimensional models.
Sure.
In those domains, and that there's so much overlap, and I think that the, you know, maybe if you put out adaptive as the center, does that mean that it's the most important? I mean, it's kind of the why.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I don't know if they're, and you know, when Lisa and I first talked about these back in episode 130 somethings, I think we purposely did the cognitive one last because that's the one most people put first. And really, I don't think they're, I mean, I don't know. It's complicated. I guess if I had to put one in the center, it would be the physical. But I'm not sure I like to do that because I think they're all important. And I think I don't like the idea of putting one above the other. But then maybe we need to, if the physical development, especially the sensory integration piece, has to be done before any of the other can really happen.
Well, and that's, I mean, honestly, that's why sensory motor development is first in like chronologically, like after a child is in development,
Yeah.
That's
I mean, we
the
need
first
to.
stage of development. You have to like develop all that stuff. And I think we just need to me, I've always felt that one of the problems with any of this looking at these domains and stages, which because that's kind of the, the stages align up with those different domains of like what's the priority at a certain child's at the age of a certain child is that's the stage of development they're at, is that they all we all need them all the time. We all continue to develop them, or hopefully we do throughout our lifespan. I mean, there are things that I can do from a sensory and a physical, fine motor, large motor, all of the motors, things that I couldn't do 5 years ago because I've focused on it. I've like, okay, now I need to like start paying attention to this. So we continue to develop all of them. And if we have a two-dimensional model, it doesn't, I guess I like you, my big thing is how are we going to get help people understand development to help kids?
Yeah. I mean, just spending a little bit of time thinking about it is helpful. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we need to make hologram technology a lot more accessible and readily available before we can build the model that I imagine you're creating. Because I imagine it's three-dimensional and you're swiping things like out in the air. And you know how some movies they got those computer screens where they're just moving things around that aren't really there. And it's this whole big complicated immense but well orchestrated thing.
I mean, I don't know about well orchestrated. What kind of like the there a spiral, like Piaget actually in his latest late almost before he died worked like started talking about equilibration as a spiral, the spiral of knowing. And I spent years trying to like recreate a spiral, and I can't draw like a cat, so that was a challenge. But to me, it's like an intersection of a spiral and an amoeba, like because it's all kind of so.
A spiral and an amoeba. Yeah.
I mean, what happens when a spiral and an amoeba date? I don't know. They produce like developmental domains in a hologram. I don't know.
Have you yet? Do you have? Is there a your little fairy tale cottage? Is there a wall full of pictures with yarn going back and forth, kind of like you're a serial killer or somebody hunting a
Not
serial
yet,
killer?
but
Okay.
I've
You're
actually
getting
this
close.
week I was like, you need to, I got when during the pandemic, I had just moved here, I knew nobody. I had a lot of time on my hands, and I got a big magnetic whiteboard so I could hang. I had got a bubble tent out so I could sit outside and I could still have friends there. And I got magnetic darts because I'm not my physical development needed eye-hand coordination always low. I thought this would be great. If people come to visit me, they can stay in my little, or they can just hang out in my bubble tent. And we have all this air. We won't die. I can sit at night and I can drink wine and I can throw at my magnetic dart board. And I mean, I did. I didn't get, and I liked it, but I had this whiteboard, and I actually this earlier this week, I thought you should get that stupid whiteboard. And put it up and start making like little pictures and yarn and post-it notes, all of this.
I think you need to start doing those and posting pictures on Playhaven so everybody else who's interested can jump in on the conversation.
Probably not many people are interested, but thanks, I'll try.
I'd have some thoughts mostly about the colors of yarn you were using and that kind of stuff. No, this is I think it's a good and again those developmental domains those are just silos to kind of sort and classify information. And
Right.
as you can tell from listening to the last 20 or 30 minutes here is that there's all kinds of ways to sort that stuff. And the thing is, there's probably no one right way and
Right.
no wrong way. They're just ways for it that makes it slightly easier for those of us interested in those topics to discuss them, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like I really like the domains you had. And as I said, it started with me thinking about, okay, so where does resilience fit in? And it really does overlap, resilience overlaps with all of them.
Yeah, see, I think resilience is just something that's in all of them.
Yeah, right. And so I was like, okay, so and it's closest, it is like 100% overlap with your adaptive domain.
Sure.
Which makes sense because that's how you adapt, is if you can't bounce back after challenges, you don't, you die. You don't move on. So, and then the imagination actually just hit me on the beach today because I've been thinking a lot about imagination. So,
Yeah.
anyway, it's you know, we kids don't have to think about it all because they do it all the time. They're developing all of those domains all the time. So
Yeah, they're doing all of those things all of the time without thinking about it. The domains, they're just for us adults because we like to sort and categorize and organize things. So I guess what we're working for, what Stephanie's pursuit now is going to be a unified theory of developmental domains.
I think you and Lisa got it. I'm just gonna like
I
add
think
my
no,
fairy dust.
I think you need to start studying, you know, things like particle physics and cosmology and do a deep dive into those things because you might come up with a whole unifying theory for the universe.
I might. I probably would rather just like write fairy tales. Maybe I'll come up with a fairy tale that has the, oh, wait a minute, that's already been done.
Before we wrap up, how's the new hip?
Oh, it's great. I'm like swimming. I'm walking down to the beach. I only use my cane to go down to the beach, but that's often so I can like poke at like dead things that I
Sure.
find. So that helps. And it's, yeah, no, it's great.
I've been thinking just as an affectation that I thought a cane would be nice, you know, like an old-timey bamboo one, bamboo kind of tame, or a walking stick with some big brass head on it, or a big fake ruby or something. I thought that might be good. I've also thought about, and Tasha says I shouldn't do this. I've thought about taking up smoking, because I think just having a pipe would be something I might enjoy in my old age.
Depends on
Just
what's in it.
pumping on a pipe. She said it
Oh,
was fine if it would. She said if I
okay.
put bubbles in it, it would be
I like
fine,
that.
but
Yeah.
yeah.
There are a lot of very cool canes. I have a very cool cane that was carved out of an apple tree at my house.
Oh,
And
cool.
so I it's very it's great, but I do have cane lust for a number of canes that I've seen. So I might have to get a backup cane that has like some kind of a dragon head on it or something.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Could I walk around with a pipe and just not smoke it, just have a
Oh,
pipe?
absolutely. I mean,
That wouldn't be
pipe. Oh,
weird.
no, it wouldn't be weird. I mean, Jeff, are you really worried about being weird?
Well, yeah, because you know, my whole thing is I want to completely fade into the background when I'm out in the world.
Oh.
I want to be as unobtrusive and unnoticeable as possible. I want to become part of the scenery. That's my goal when I'm out and about. So yeah, I do actually worry about that.
Okay. Well, then you've got to go with the subtle. I'll tell you something. When I have a cane and I'm out in public because of my hip, people talk loudly to me. It's really funny. I'm like, it's my hip, it's not my ears.
That's hilarious. Now that's put me off the cane and the pipe idea completely because I don't
Yeah,
want
I
to,
figured.
because those things would bring attention. I've got a fedora I like hanging here, but I don't wear it very often because I'm just worried somebody might look at me. It's a nice straw fedora. It'd be great for walking on a sunny day on the beach. Somebody might look at it and I don't want,
Put
yeah.
down, pull it down over your face and you won't
So I've
see them and they'll
just got
go away. Object
got my
permanent.
my g generic gray ball cap with no logo on it. Because that was the most generic neutral thing I could find. Well, this year's been the Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Let's see, we've covered my arch enemy. We've covered developmental domains, the fact that I read and dream weird. We've talked about Stephanie's hip, Kane's pipes. You know, we covered a wide range of things on this episode.
Imagination and resilience.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Imagination and resilience. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast, the world's longest running and most prolific early learning podcast that wants you to use your imagination, whether you visualize pictures or words or what else is there you could visualize. Look, there's probably somebody that visualizes something. Yeah,
I mean, like maybe people dream in like sensations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, people are awesome. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.